This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Extra time on the jugs.
Get on the jugs.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, we got old Dirty and the blonde tip baller in the building, as well as Psycho T Mill in the building. And first things first, we are live at Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Avenue here in Houston. Come on out. Bring your ass. Bring your friends. Come on out. Have a good time. There's good food. I see burgers. I see pretzel bites. I see wings, of course, all over the place. The Bud Light girls are here and there hooking folks up with things. I'm telling you, yes, I'm seeing some beers flowing around here. They've got good mixed drinks. Everything that you need, come on out and hang out with us as we're here until 6 o'clock. TVs all over the place. A little Thursday night football you can watch here. As Clint said, this is a good little area, good little spot to fall up in, huh?
There was a time when this would be a very convenient start to a Thursday evening that could
when you get a chance to party
that we'd have to maybe rehash on a Friday or Saturday. You know, when them kind of Thursday evenings. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know,
you miss it a little bit. You miss it.
Well, hell yes. Who doesn't miss it? You talking about just going on Thursday, or are you talking about back to the life?
Just like one day on the Thursday of the life, because back in the life, this used to be the start to the weekend, right? The Thursday used to be the start to the weekend. You get out now. Tyler's still living it, but this used to be the start to the weekend.
Completely transparent.
Oh God.
Thursday was the start to my weekend until I was 43.
The guy is drunk.
I mean,
that's not true.
Until I got married?
No, it's not. When we first started
this show, quickly.
You were 43. Your Thursdays weren't the same. Your Thursday, you were just banging out.
I'm not saying I was playing ball and running the streets but I mean, Thursdays, it was like, yeah, I'm getting out, whatever. I mean, if I get a chance to get out, I'm out. I mean, until I got married, like right now, I'm married. Married didn't change much. The kids.
Yeah, the kids.
The kids is when it's like, I mean, even back, you know, just being married, it's like, hey, Thursday night, baby, let's get out. We don't even think about it.
That's why I'm mad at Reggie. Reggie told me tonight he about to go hoop and go to the crib and chill.
I'd like to go hit some golf balls or something, and then go to that ain't happening.
Give me that time. I'll tell you, I'd have this. You're right, boy. This Thursday, boy, I'd sit here for about another hour, get here and get it working, and then I'm about to plan this thing out. We about to have this thing.
I'm gonna tell you that there was a time not too long ago where too many shows at this place right here from 2 to 6 would turn into me being out when the lights come on at 2.
Somewhere
with some, and y'all, you would be drug out a lot of time. Reggie's ass would damn sure get there. I'd probably be in the DJ booth with Matthew over there a couple times. That's where I'd find myself, either leaning on it or in it.
I'm telling you, where we at? Where we going?
Where are we going tonight?
Thursday, yeah, Friday. Tell you, that's the thing. All right, 5 o'clock fire. Remember, brought to you by Kirk Holmes. The injury report is out for the Texans, and here it is. I think the good news here, Clint, is it looks like we're getting close, Clint, to Will Anderson, who practiced both days, and Kamari Lassiter, who was full with a concussion. Will has missed every game since the Jets game, which he got injured in, and then Kamari missed the last game with a concussion, but full to go. Those are two defensive starters they have been without, and they were without last week. That it looks like definitely with Kamari Lassiter, Will Anderson, we'll see. But it's a good sign that he practiced both of the padded practice days. They could get whole with those two guys coming back.
Yeah, Kamari's the big one here, man, for me. Yeah. I mean, I've about 3-4 weeks ago, I told myself I'm through doubting this defense, through poking holes in the defense. The reality of it is these dudes just go out there and get it done, and they're even better in clutch situations. And so with that comes, I'm just through poking holes in Kamari Lassiter being a true outside corner and being a guy that can hold up, and what does the speed look like? What is this? What is that? Why aren't people attacking him more? I'm through with all that, right? And this past week has done nothing but strengthen that take or that approach to watching this defense play for me. I mean, I was hoping that Jeff Okuda would come out and play really well, and Jeff Okuda would be a guy that could potentially play outside and shift Lassiter
you
in.
You just got to give him one more shot.
At the end of the day, just give some depth, whatever it may be, just give an option there, and that's clearly what seeing Jeff Okuda has done on the field literally has made me believe in and like Kamari Lassiter more. So Kamari Lassiter coming back and the top two cover defenders on this football team staying healthy the rest of the way is absolutely crucial, man. I was hoping, especially with some of the names that were in training camp and even some of the lesser-known guys, the way they were performing in training camp at the cover, like true corner cover defender position, I was hoping that we wouldn't be so dependent on a second-round draft pick rookie. And it's turned out we have been dependent on that guy. We are dependent on that guy being healthy. And to be completely honest with you, he's significantly better a lot quicker than I thought he would be.
Isn't it crazy, Clint, that the real talk of it is, even though Will Anderson has been this team's best defensive player and most consistent defensive player, Clint, it is clear, like, Kamari Lassiter is – his value is more valuable right now than Will Anderson. I mean, and it sounds nuts.
I mean, you think about it. He's more valuable than Will Anderson. He's more valuable than Christian Harris.
He's more valuable than Danielle Hunter. And those guys are better players. But like we've seen, Will Anderson is out, and they got dudes. You know. When Kamari Lassiter has been out, and I believe he's missed two games, there have been not just small, just glaring, like, damn. Like, D'Angelo Ross is out here just getting abused out here.
Yeah, going at him.
Jeff Okuda, that one's going to be a hard one to shake. You talk about first impressions. That was rough from Jeff. I mean, good Lord, Jeff, you couldn't get out your break out of, I mean, nothing. I mean, you talk about lingerie on the deck. My man, it's still something.
My man flipped them hips. And
his panties still on the ground.
My man flipped them hips outside and was running deep after on Devontae Turpin, took less than two steps.
I'm telling you, boy, he was in the end zone. He left three thongs and two G-strings on the field.
Oh, that lingerie he left on the deck. But I mean, you saw like and they, like we saw the times where they had success, they start picking on Kadar Holman and Jeff Okuda.
Yeah,
that was it. So yeah, they desperately need to have him right. He's clearly the defense looks different. Whether, as you said, whether he's challenged or not, clearly the defense looks different with those two there. That's by the right. way, the ones that have potential of missing the game, Clint, Danico Autry with a knee and an oblique. He did not practice for the second straight day. Foley Fadakasi, he has not practiced for 2 weeks and missed the last game. Didn't practice today. And then Blake Fisher, the same as Foley. He has not practiced in the last 2 days. For the last 2 weeks, excuse me, and did practice today. So I would expect, Clint, I would expect or be more inclined to believe we'd see out from those three guys tomorrow than questionable.
But I would think on a short week,
yep,
both positions have good to great depth. I would expect that these guys are out. But you know, we'll see. I mean,
these are three guys that you believe they can handle the Titans.
Yeah, but Danico Autry is more of a veteran player that has gone hard because of Will Anderson being out, played maybe a little bit more than they thought. And so this could be, you know, some veteran quote unquote rest type situation for him. But we'll see. But I'm with you. I mean, if you're going to lean one direction or the other, it's got to be towards not playing at this point.
Yeah, at this point. All right, so that is the injury report. We will keep note of this tomorrow to see what designation these guys have going into Friday as they prepare to play the Titans coming up on Sunday.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, a Thursday night football game, Clint. And this is a weird game. The Steelers, who have been rolling, I believe they're 4-0 since Russell Wilson has taken over as the starter. They beat the Ravens last week. They've got a two-game-plus lead in the division with a win over the Ravens. And they've been playing really good football. They've got one of the best defenses in the game. And at this point, their offense has started to come and roll as well when you take a look at what Russell Wilson has done, particularly with George Pickens. But Jameis Winston is the wild card among wild cards, and you never know what you're going to get. You could get Jameis, who looked terrible, and they got blown out by the Saints at home, or you could get, and you know the Saints ain't great, or you could get the Jameis Winston who went off for 350-plus yards and three touchdowns, and they beat the Ravens at home.
Water has no soul.
Also, and I believe I am correct on this, I am going to check. I feel and I believe the weather is a big issue in this game tonight. There may be some snow in
yep.
this thing and wind at that stadium. So that yeah, right now it's 36 degrees, and they expect snow to come and rain, hard rain and snow to hit a little bit later on during this game, Clint. So this is an interesting one in which Texans fans are looking at because the Steelers are a team clearly in front of you. It'd be nice for you to move up in seeding, and that's a team that's in front of you right now. But this should be a really interesting game on how this lands because of the elements.
Yeah, the elements. You mentioned the quarterbacks and both of these teams with you know some really good options in terms of running the football. So. This could be.
Yep, Nick Chubb is back.
Yeah, this could be just one of them old school Steeler Browns matchups where it's the weather is obvious, like you said, and then it's more difficult than usual throwing the football in these elements.
Yeah, Jameis, you just never know what you're gonna get from Jameis. That's Jameis and Russ. Russ has been playing pretty well, but you just never know what you're going to get here. And right now the Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite in this game. What is that? And we could probably wait and see exactly what Tyler's going to have in T-Mill's best bets, as I'm sure that this football game is going to dominate a lot. But when you start to look at that weather, that over-under in points, that'll be one to watch as well.
Mm-hmm.
and you would think low in this game. So big one tonight for the Steelers, and also Texas. Outside thing to watch as well as seeding has started to become a thing for the Texans.
Let's ride.
5 o'clock fire.
Shout out to Russ. All right, Clint, we talked a little bit about this. Five-star quarterback Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis, commits to Colorado. And he had previously committed to USC and Lincoln Riley, but decommitted and is now going with Deion to Colorado. He's the number one quarterback in the class, the number two player in the class. And, Clint, there's two ways to go about this. The Deion thing, but I want to start here. What's this mean for Lincoln Riley at USC? And the type of season they're having right now, the season they had with Caleb Williams, and the expectations you had of him leaving Oklahoma, going there. And it's weird. They got off. They beat LSU earlier in the year to start the thing. And you thought maybe this is a USC team that's back. But I thought he was going to go there and absolutely kill, like get back to the level that maybe Pete Carroll was at. I'm not talking about he's going to win as many championships, but have them as relevant as it was that time because he was having that with Oklahoma. He has not nearly had that type of success, and that includes having Caleb Williams to go with him. And now he is losing star recruits like this to schools like Colorado and the Big 12, Clint.
Yeah, it's and the other part of that is you got Oregon, who has made the transition to the Big Ten, and they sit atop the Big Ten.
Since Pete Carroll, Oregon has been far better than the team out west.
Yeah, you know, I think USC has overall been a disappointment, but this is beyond that. I mean, this has gotten to a point where, you know, you knew it would take him a couple of years to get things right out there. He tried to go the transfer portal route heavily the first year, had some success with Caleb. Then you know, the next year with Caleb was rough. But, you know, he brings Caleb out there. He brought a bunch of those transfer portal guys out there. Well, that's wearing off, and now the program's going in the wrong direction. And now you're in the Big Ten. We talked about Sark making the transition from the Big 12 to the SEC and you know, how difficult that was going to be. And in reality, it was difficult for a lot of guys, but the one it was the most difficult on is obviously the big name anyway is USC and Lincoln Riley. And so it's going to be interesting to see how SC handles this one, man.
Yeah, like you said, man, USC felt a lot like Texas, a lot like Michigan, a lot like a lot of those schools, Clint. If they get the right coach, yep, like they will instantly. And Lincoln Riley, you thought, would have been the right coach. Oklahoma, where he left, feels like that too. But I am surprised where they are right now after he left to get there.
It's interesting, Ron, how the game has changed when paying players becomes legal, right? I mean, when there's been a handful of universities out there that have been really good at doing it illegally and not getting caught, and it is interesting now that everybody can do it. You know, who are guys trusting? Where are guys going? Is it all about the money? Is it about development? Why in the hell can't Lincoln Riley have success out there? And even if we're just talking about success on the offensive side of the football, where he was known for, right? With Caleb Williams, they were good on offense and bad on defense. Like, even if it was just that, you could have something to hang your hat on. They're just bad all the way around.
All the way around. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I don't think he's in danger of getting fired or anything, but as you said, this is beyond that. This is kind of a red flashing light right now that you're losing big time players to Colorado.
Yeah,
like the number two recruit to Colorado. You would have thought that'd been a guy that changes.
He's
this
got
state.
A 5-star offensive lineman that's going to follow to Colorado too.
Yeah, you talked about
it's going to be
earlier.
More than one.
Shout out to Deion. We'll see how long he's there. But coming up as we continue, how confident are you that the Texans have what many people kind of call that clutch gene, that point where, hey, come down, you need a play to be made, I feel good that they are going to make it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, Thirsty Thursday. And I'm telling you right now, if you're in the streets and you're listening to us and you're riding and you're close to Washington Ave, because that's where we are, Buffalo Wild Wings, 3939 Washington Ave.
Well, hey,
Avenue.
Boys.
Thanks, Laura. You can come out and hang out. And not just hang out, but as soon as this segment ends, so you've got about 10 minutes or so, as soon as this segment ends, we will be finding a winner to our final prize, and that is two tickets to the Texans hosting the Miami Dolphins, as well as two wristbands that come with that, with those tickets for tailgating, free food, free drinks. We will be hooking somebody up with that as soon as this segment ends. What you need to do is get on in here, sign your name, put it there on in our raffle box that's sitting right here on the table in front of us, and that's your chance. You got about 10 minutes to win our final prize today. All right, I said this because I know this thought was sparked from Nick Caseria, who was on with Payne and Pendergast earlier today, 7:30. He was on about 45 minutes. You can check that out on the Odyssey app at the podcast page. But he was talking about making plays down the stretch, big moments, big games that are tight, that are close, making plays down the stretch. This was him with Nick Caserio, also known as NC. This is him, the latest on the Texans in terms of them making big plays in tight games.
Overall, with the league, I think it was week 8 or 9, and we're just going through some things, and I think it's at one point there's like 67 games that were one score games, which was like an NFL record for that time. So I think what you see, it speaks to the parity of this league, how competitive this league is, how good the competition is on a week to week basis. And we've talked about it on this show. Each game typically comes down to a handful of plays. Whichever team makes them is probably going to be the team that puts them in a position to win the football game. And we're fortunate that we've done that 7 times. 7 wins really doesn't get you anything in this league, so we understand we got to play good football on a week-to-week basis and just, you know, go out there and execute with some level of consistency and hopefully put ourselves in position at the end of the year where we're in a decent spot.
All right, as he talked about it, and listen, many games over the last 2 years since DeMeco has become the head coach have come down to this, making big plays. You can remember last year, CJ making big plays. You can remember at times this year against Buffalo making big plays in some of these tight games, the way that they've come down to they've made big plays to take control of the game. What's your feeling right now? And those of you on the text line, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch can jump in on this. What's your feel? Are you confident? Are you confident in the Texans to make the game-changing play, the big play against really good teams? Not against the Cowboys, not against the Titans, not against the Patriots, but against the good teams that they got to beat to get to where they want to get to. Down the stretch, do you have good – what's your confidence that the Texans can make these plays?
Look, I mean, here's the thing. With what Nick's talking about, what jumps out is every game, the games that we as Texans fans want these guys to ultimately win and push through and have a chance at a Super Bowl, is that there's going to be a handful of plays that make the difference and ultimately decide that game. And right now I'm not confident that against those teams and on the same level as those teams that the Texans are ready to make those plays. Right now you look at across the board, we've had Tank Dell dropping touchdowns. We've had C.J. Stroud with errant passes for multiple times over the last 4 or 5 weeks, whether it's interceptions in the end zone or interceptions in the red zone or and misses in games, more misses than last year in games. You look at Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick has for 2 games now been good, but for the previous 9, it was not good. You look at the offensive line that they have really, really struggled. Dalton Schultz is not having the year that I think everybody expected him to have after signing a $12 million a year deal. And so, yeah, I'm at a need to see more level with the Texans before I get real confident that they can make those plays. Right now, The struggles, the inconsistencies, they make me a bit nervous in that department.
The best way that I can describe it, Clint, is the Texans' defense on the field to make big plays. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good that DeMeco will dial up a pressure, or Will Anderson, or any of the D-line, Danielle Hunter, Derek Barnett, who we just had on earlier, any of those guys, Autry, when they're healthy, I feel confident that they can do that. I feel confident, especially the Derek Stingley we saw last week, that they can get the stop and make the plays. I feel pretty good. Now, I'm not saying I guarantee that they'll stop, you know, Lamar or Herbert or Mahomes down the stretch, or Allen down the stretch if they need to, but I feel good. The offense this year right now, for a lot of reasons, I don't feel the same way than if hey man, we need them to go and do what they did against the Bucs last year. We need for them to go and do what they did against the Bengals last year. We need for them to come through and make big plays late. I don't know that I feel as confident about the offense coming through and making plays, Clint. I just, from what we've seen, and some of it comes from the quarterback. I think CJ is still a very good quarterback in this league. But last year, he got the ball at the end. You know, there was a feel like he going to go right down there and get this thing. I don't know that I have that same feel, me personally. Maybe many of you do. But I don't know that I have that same feel right now.
Yeah, look, it's easy for me. I mean, I think there's two questions you'd ask. Would you rather the offense or the defense be on the field in a gotta-have-it situation to seal
right
a game?
Now,
and you know, right now, I was shocked off my ass last year when what went down in that Baltimore playoff game. Like, I did not think after what we'd watched that offense do that they would be so easy to smother and a team would be able to do it for four quarters. That shocked the hell out of me. If that same thing happened right now, I wouldn't be shocked. We've seen the offensive line be overwhelmed by pass rush. We've seen the receivers, with the exception of Nico Collins, not be able to create separation, right? We've seen the toll that getting hit on the quarterback getting hit as much. We've seen that him struggle because of that. So I just need to see more. That's what we need to get accomplished over the next 2-3 weeks. Is stack a few more games, Bobby Slowick calling the game, the offense the way he did, CJ playing low to high more times than he's playing high to low, and see if we can't get this thing rolling.
Somebody said,
Clint here.
Yeah, man, I hear you, CJ.
There you go. Somebody said that doesn't change for you with Nico back. At this point, not for me, not yet, but we'll see. We'll see with the next several weeks if with evidence it changes. But right now, no, it doesn't change a lot.
It changes in a positive direction for me, but it doesn't push me over the top of like, yep, hell yeah, let's go. No, I mean,
he makes it different.
That's a different animal now. He's a game changer. There's no doubt about it. But it just doesn't. There's a lot that again, there's several layers that have to continue to improve or start improving for it to get to that level.
Yeah. All right. But Clint, it feels like that's what's going to have to happen. They play tight games, and when they get in, you know, against these teams like the Dolphins and in particular the Ravens and the Chiefs and down the stretch, I think we'll potentially find out if they can make the big plays, yeah, in those big moments.
We'll see. Yeah, they're going to have to.
That's the one thing is, they are capable. We know that. This ain't a situation where, like, you like, hey, man, you got to cross your fingers. You got to hope everything goes right. No, they're very capable of it. It just hasn't been consistent enough to just say, man, I feel real great about it. I feel real great about it. All right. All right, coming up as we continue here, Tyler's best bets. We'll get those coming up, and I think a place that a lot of you are nervous, that feels like it's going to be the downfall, that you got to be feeling a lot better about. At least I am. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive as we are live here, Washington Avenue here, Buffalo Wild Wings. And congratulations to our latest winner, Samuel and Angel. Clap it up for them. Yeah. Father and son coming out. And they win the tickets to check out the Dolphins and the Texans coming up at NRG next month. So congratulations to those guys. As I'm certain that'll be a fun time. Maybe it sure be messed up if Pop said, you know, Angel, man, I think I'm going to take... I think I'm going to take somebody else. Like hell you are. I came in here. I won these tickets. So, no, that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That'll be a cool thing. Before we continue rolling here, again, T-Mills Best Bets coming up here in just a bit. You want to make some money as Tyler has had a strong week. Forget about last week, baby. He has had a strong week. He is rolling. Make you some bread tonight. Just want to send a shout-out. Thank everybody that's helped us put this on. All the people, the great staff here at Buffalo Wild Wings. The great people and the great people with Bud Light, they have done a great job as well. They've hooked us up with a lot of prizes and things of that. All of the giveaways, courtesy of the great people at Bud Light. Shout out to our promo staff that works very, very hard and has helped us continue to be on the air. Also to our engineer Matt, who's kept us on the air. Both in terms of the radio and as well as on YouTube and Twitch. Tyler back at the station holding it down. And everybody who's come in had a good time here today. Remember, we will be out tomorrow. A brand new Big City Wings out in Katy. Brand new Big City Wings out in Katy. We'll be out there from 2 to 6 right off Kingsland Boulevard. Kingsland Boulevard in Katy. We'll be there tomorrow, 2 to 6, so come hang out with us for a little football Friday. Should be a good time as usual. All right. Hey, Clint, let me ask you this. How are you feeling now? It's been 2 weeks now. We've watched them. I know you're freaking happy, Samuel. It's been 2 weeks now. We've seen this offensive line now. Once they've made the change and they said, all right, we're going to go with Jared Patterson at the center, and Kenyon Green is out with the injury, and we're going to move Jared Patterson from center to left guard. They played the Lions, and they played now the Cowboys. I'd say, what, 3 out of the 4 halves, they've been pretty good in that. The second half, there was even some things as well that they were okay with, leaked a little bit against the Lions in the second half, but weren't awful. What's your feel and your thought process from this new offensive line after seeing 2 weeks of them making this move in the interior?
Well, I love the direction. I love what the OC and the quarterback have done for the last two games to help them, which is necessary. The great teams do that, and the Texans for some reason weren't for the first 9 weeks. They are now. They have for 2 weeks. So I like that, number one. so that the approach is significantly better and more conducive to good to great offensive line play. I like that. The move of Jarrett Patterson to center and Juice Scruggs to guard, I think has been probably a little minimized simply because that we didn't run the football as well as Detroit. And to be honest with you, the way we lost that game, I think there were very few people worried about Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs, but there was some improvement there with that combination. And then last week, I know it was a lesser opponent. I know the Cowboys just pretty much quit, but it was significantly better in that game, both in the run game up front as well as the pass protecting game. And if you just watch Jarrett Patterson in a vacuum, he is, you know, what he brings to the table, the way he plays the game, the physicality he plays with, the strain that he plays with, obviously the communication's better. I really like that move. Now, we're going to find out a lot about these guys against, particularly on the inside, against Simmons and Sweat this weekend. This is a really good pass defense, or has been a really good pass defense from a production standpoint, the best pass defense in the league. So, we'll see if they can hold up against a better front. We've seen a team in Detroit that's a little bit more built, especially without Aiden Hutchinson, built a little bit more towards holding the line of scrimmage, commanding double teams, letting the linebackers roam versus all out penetrating pass rushing defense. And I thought they fared well. Then the Cowboys, a team that you should dominate, that had one player that could get loose in Micah Parsons at any time, and I think they played well. They kept him at bay. Now you're going to play a defense that has been better against the pass, hasn't allowed much yardage, passing yardage, and has, you know, a few dudes in the front that can go get it. One of them in Simmons that is elite. So we'll see how they fare against these guys. But I think the O-line, where it sits right now, with all the help that they've been given, which is what every offensive line deserves and should get from the quarterback and the OC, I think they can definitely be a really good unit in this league. And it wouldn't shock me at all, I'll be honest with you.
A really good unit?
A really good unit in this league, yes. It wouldn't shock me if we've already played Detroit and Dallas. It wouldn't shock me if in two more games after the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, nationally folks are talking about the Texans again, obviously because of the record and the wins, but because, you know, I think they'll be highlighting the offensive line play. I think that's very possible, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'm ready after a couple of weeks to think that they can be a pretty good offensive line this year. I just think they just have some deficiencies. But, Clint, I most definitely think they're moving to a place where, one, it can be improvement over what we've seen the past 2 weeks. And I think the past 2 weeks, yes, it is not great. And I just don't think they are. I mean, they're just going to be moments, Clint, if Juice Scruggs gets caught one-on-one with, you know, good interior defensive linemen, they might get him. Like he got. And I think it may happen to Jarrett Patterson too, and Shaq Mason, he's not you know absolutely just holding it down like he's Quentin Nelson or anything. So I think there's going to be some things that happen. But I think what we have seen the last 2 weeks, Clint, is something that you can operate in, right?
Yeah,
they can like they can run offense. There are going to be some times, like Dallas came up there. There were a couple of blitzes in that Dallas game where you're just like, damn it, come on, guys. Somebody got to at least pick somebody up. Like we heard Aikman saying, damn it, you just can't let the closest guy to the quarterback go through. There are going to be some of those. But the previous weeks before they made this adjustment, Clint, those type of plays were happening 10, 12, 15 times a game, it seemed like, where – like CJ's not even hitting his back step before he's got to take off, or you know, it's just immediate pressure where you can't do anything. They have minimized that. And so at the very least, I think they have gotten to a point, Clint, where this is you can operate and give yourself a chance to win with this level. What they've been playing. Before
I think you can definitely give yourself a chance.
Right.
To win.
I think they're at least there before. I mean, that Jets game, man, like, listen, I know CJ made some misses, but good God, I mean, hell, I mean, you get eight sacks on you, man, and some of those are just right there on you. There ain't much you can do about it.
Yeah, look. They've eliminated that at least. Here's what I don't want to do, and I'm not ready to do, and I refuse to do at this point in time. The way Bobby Slowick was calling offensive football and C.J. Stroud was playing quarterback the first nine games of the season, you would have to be an elite offensive lineman tackle to tackle to get that done.
Dang it, Bobby.
The stress those guys were putting on the offensive line, you would have to be elite at every position. And they're not that. They're not that, right? I don't know if there's an offensive line in the league that's good enough to do what they were asking those guys to do. To be completely honest with you, but they with the necessary help, I could see this offensive line improving in a way that they start getting credit for the Texans. You know why the Texans are playing better?
Yeah, I think good. And it was a good water, man. I had to clear through, man. Right? Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you saw my throat. It was struggling. They are. You have to feel better to me if you're a Texans fan. You have to feel better about the direction the offensive line is going in. Yes, you're going to be annoyed by certain things that happen, but you got to at least, to me, feel better about that. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the Hall of Famer. Put pressure on everybody. John McClain will join the fellas for that.
And Brian, then, let me stop you right there.
All right, I'm stopped. But after they get done at 7, you got a coverage tonight right here, courtesy of Westwood One, Thursday Night Football between the Pittsburgh Steelers, the current 3 seed in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers right ahead of the Texans. They will go to Cleveland and take on Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Browns. So that's coming up right after the fellas on Texans All Access. So stay tuned for that. All right, Tyler, let's get your best bets. Tyler is 11 for 15 this week, 73% clip, which is pretty good. That's making some money. Yesterday, 3 of 4. What you got today in terms of your best bets? And I'm sure this football game's going to have a big role in it.
Oh, yes. All of my best bets on this Thirsty Thursday are for Thursday Night Football between the Browns and the Steelers. And let's keep the heater going. Got a lot of green money in the pocket if you've been following these bets this week. Making up for last week, of course. Real quick, six more best bets. And if you're scared of this weather tonight in Cleveland, just close your ears or fade me or whatever.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I've never been one that, unless it's like a damn below zero blizzard, I don't give too much thought to some 30-something weather up in Cleveland in this game. So without further ado, six best bets real quick. I am on the Browns with some points tonight. Browns plus 4.5. I am on the over for this game. Don't let the weather scare you. Over 36.5 points. That is a low mark to hit. And then I got the Browns as a team. I have their over 16.5 throughout all four quarters tonight. And now I got three player props. I'll give them to you real quick here. The guy we all love, the national treasure, Jameis Winston. I'm on his over pass yards, 217.5 tonight. I'm on Jerry Jeudy over 3.5 receptions. Might be my favorite bet of the evening. And last one for you, Dangerous Russell Wilson, over 11.5 rushing yards. He's still mobile enough. He can get that on one play. Let's see if he can get it.
Whew, yeah.
You don't like any of them.
Well, I mean, you're flirting with the Russ one is my favorite there.
Okay.
Him getting them 11.5 yards, because I do think, like, I'm looking at it, it's 36 degrees and dropping, but it's really the wind and the potential for snow, and it's been raining all day, but the potential of snow there, where I'm not sure. I mean, the Steelers and the Ravens combined for 34 in pretty good weather in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens here. I don't know about that, but my favorite is the Russell Wilson one.
Okay.
11.5 yards rushing, but, I don't know, boy.
I mean, if there's snow, we just got to hope Jameis is one with water.
They're one with water.
Jameis at 217, huh? Ooh.
I really like Jerry Jeudy over 3.5 catches.
Do you?
That's my favorite one. You want me to throw some at it for you, Dirty?
No, no, I'm okay right now.
I got room.
I'm okay right now.
Okay. All right. No peer pressure.
They're going to tell you, you got room now. And now I got room and you ain't got nothing
scared
to throw
money
to.
Don't make no money.
That's what he's saying. I think he lost a little bit last night. He's kind of taken off that Dame Lillard was 4.5 points short on him yesterday.
Never had a chance.
It did. It got you. It got you. That's all right. Again, we appreciate everybody joining us, everybody who came out and had a good time. Tomorrow, remember, Big City Wings. We are out at Big City Wings in Katy off of Kingsland Boulevard up in Katy. So come hang out with us tomorrow, 2 to 6, for a little Football Friday. So that'll be a good time tomorrow. Come hang on out with us. Then, again, after us, Texans All Access, John McClain will join the fellas. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
And the world's all right with me.
I'm still hot about that.
Which part, the ordering or the eating?
No, that broad sit right there and going to come up after the third dance. That'll be $60. $60? Derek Barnett, he joins us.
D. Horton Petrie fighting for it. Petrie came up and just literally killed that dude, and then the ball popped back out. So we were just trying to get into the end zone after that.
Derek.